Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We're going to go to the Tapman's Towing phone line. Be joined by our guy Aaron Lemming from the Bear Report. Aaron, happy Halloween. Sorry it's been a little while, but it's painful for me to talk Bears, my man.
I get it. You know what's crazy is I honestly have forgotten probably about five times a day that it's Halloween. So, I mean, it's just been a whirlwind of a year so far.
Well, at least we have some news. I know a lot of people, we've had a couple of texts come in on our U of I Atlanta League text line about the Montez Sweat trade, the Bears giving up a second-round pick yet again midseason. Hopefully it's not the Chase Claypool reenacted in terms of him not panning out, and obviously he's already gone off your roster. But edge rush is a big area of need. I know Sweat's contract with it coming up is an interesting factor in all this. What do you make of the trade? Was it a good one for Chicago, and what do you think of the price?
Well, I think it's a multi-layered thing, right? Because obviously the Bears have a huge need at edge rusher, and I think a lot of people are kind of taking this at face value and saying, why are the Bears at 2-6 trading for an edge rusher mid-season in a season where they're already essentially eliminated? And, you know, I get it, but at the same time, I think you kind of have to look at the free agent market, right? I mean, Rashawn Gary just signed a four-year deal worth about $24 million a year. And, you know, obviously, yeah, Chase Young got traded, and there are some names out there. But the problem is, and we see this every year, is between the franchise tag and between, you know, different extensions and stuff that happen, it's like the names that you're seeing in terms of free agents right now are not going to be the same names that you see hit the market in March. So I think the Bears kind of took one of those approaches, right, wrong, or indifferent, where they said, hey, we want to go out and we want to make a move now because we want to guarantee that our pass rush is not going to be as big of an issue next year. So I think, you know, in terms of the price, I mean, it's about right. I mean, Montez Sweat is a good, I would say a very good defensive end. He's not Khalil Mack. He's not one of the Bosa brothers. He's not, you know, one of those elite guys. I wouldn't even say he's Rashawn Gary, but he's very good against the run. He's, you know, he's a quality pass rusher. He doesn't have quite the win rate that Chase Young does. But I think overall it makes sense. But like you said, I think the big thing right now when you're looking at it is they have to get an extension done. I mean, this isn't a situation where you can go into the offseason and say, oh, well, they can tag him. It's like, no, if you trade a second-round pick, a high second-round pick, I mean, we all know it's going to be a high second-round pick, they have to get an extension done with him, and it is not going to be cheap.
On the note of Chase Young, he goes for a third-round pick to the Niners, which essentially that's like a two-round difference because the Bears will be – high second round as far as their pick they're giving up. The Niners, of course, low third round. Is Sweat that much better than Chase Young in your estimation? I know he's been healthier on the whole in the last handful of years.
Well, I think it's kind of a multi-layered thing, right? Because I think when you look at it on the surface, you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, Chase Young has been a lot more productive this year as a pass rusher. But then you look at the fact that he's played in, what, about half of his games over the last 3 years. So it's kind of one of those things where the production hasn't been consistent. There's been some concerns on the his knee with the torn ACL, and I mean, he even missed some games this year. So I think it's one of those things when you look at that and then you compare that to Sweat, where Sweat hasn't missed a game. So it's a checks and balances kind of thing. I think the other layer to this all is the fact that, you know, who knows how, you know, when you're looking at both of these guys, you know, who knows how open both of these guys were to extensions. I would have to imagine that the Bears have at least talked to his agent, have a pretty good idea in terms of market value, and have a pretty good confidence that they're going to be able to get it done. But I think that's kind of a layer to it as well. And, you know, I think it just comes down to it. I mean, even leading up to the trade deadline, you know, you see all this stuff about both of them being on the trade block, and the talk's always been, you know, Montez Sweat is going to be the guy that gets the higher return for Washington. And that's exactly what we saw. And I think it's just, like I said, it's a multi-layered thing. And I think, you know, you may not be getting quite the upside as a pass rusher, but you're going to get more reliability. And then, you know, second of all, I think that you're going to get a more rounded or well-rounded, well-rounded edge rusher out of it.
This is bugging me, Pipes. I know for Aaron, it just seems like the idea that you have to sign this guy when you don't know that you can. And it's not like the Bears.
Well, you better for a second-round pick.
I understand, but it's like I don't get it. I mean, it's not like the Bears aren't making the playoffs this year, I don't think.
Oh.
I mean, that whole division is just wrecked minus Detroit.
Than making the playoffs.
So it's like I don't understand taking this risk. Is it just Do you have a better chance of signing him, I guess, with him on your team, you think?
Well, I think so. I think, you know, they're going to have 2 years of control regardless, right? They're going to have this year, and then they're going to have 2 more years because they can tag him twice. I mean, obviously,
that's
the worst-case scenario. But, there's an inherent risk involved with it. I mean, it's kind of like the Khalil Mack deal a few years ago where it's like, obviously, it's a little bit different because it's at the trade deadline, not the beginning of the year. But anytime you make a move like that, I think you're assuming, based on conversations with the agent or whatever the case may be, you're assuming that you're going to be able to get a deal done. But no, I think it feels as dumb as it sounds, but it feels like an inappropriate time. I mean, mm-hmm. you're talking about a team that is 5-20 during this regime. Like, at least in my personal opinion, neither one of these guys should be safe. Matt Eberflus and this coaching staff should be out the door regardless of what happens the rest of the season. There's been enough trends to see that this is not working. But, I mean, even with Ryan Poles, it's like, you know, and I'm sure we're going to get into it with the Jalen Johnson thing, but that's already been mishandled. I mean, how many talented players are you going to let walk out the door, get upset enough to try to walk out the door before it becomes an issue, but then they're not going to have any trouble giving up a second-round pick and paying Montez Sweat probably $24 million a year? It's just it's a very weird thing where I think you can like the player and you can say, well, this definitely improves the team, while also questioning, like, what is the direction of this team? Does this mean that Ryan Poles is safe? And if so, why is he safe considering there's still half a season left to go and they've won 5 games in a year and a half?
Aaron Lemming is our guest on the Tapman's Towing phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. I was going to go there, Aaron, in terms of next before even getting to Jalen Johnson. It's, of course, part of the conversation, but you've answered it a little bit in terms of how much heat needs to be on Ryan Poles now when you have the trade gone wrong last year with Chase Claypool. You have the fact of really outside of, I said it in the last segment, Lovie Smith handing you the number one pick. You get DJ Moore out of that, which looks like a really nice asset and obviously a great happening for the Bears. But I can pinpoint a number of other things, like the inability to build up the offensive line, which obviously is hindered Justin Fields' production. And I'm not going to blame him entirely for Matt Eberflus being hired, really, if not, maybe it wasn't even his fault at all because of the way the Bears handled it prior to him getting the job. But, I mean, it is under his watch, and Luke Getsy being the OC and everything. Like, how much do you think is there a circumstance where Ryan Poles gets fired either this offseason, if not, you know, very likely or very possible the following offseason?
Well, I think his seat should absolutely be hot because, like you pointed out, I mean, has he made some good moves? Sure, he has. But at the same time, at least in my opinion, there's been more bad than good. And if anything, there's been more incomplete / bad than there has been good. I mean, look at their last few draft classes. I mean, you're talking about Darnell Wright is basically the only thing that I would feel very confident in within this draft class, right? Obviously, some of these other guys got to develop. The two young defensive linemen have to develop. But let's look at 2020. It's like, or 2022, when, you know, it's like you pass on George Pickens with your two picks for a pair of defensive backs. One of those guys can't stay healthy, and Jaquan Brisker. Well, I mean, frankly, Kyler Gordon's had his injury issues too. So it's like neither one of these guys have stayed healthy. And I mean, for as much as the broadcast every single week wants to blow up Jaquan Brisker and say he's these promising young safety, if you actually watch the All-22, he's been borderline bad. I mean, neither one of these guys have done enough to justify being, you know, the two second-round picks. And then Velus Jones Jr., I mean, all you got to do is watch him play to know that wasn't worth the third-round pick. So I think then you start looking at some of these free agent deals, you trade Roquan Smith because you don't want to pay him $20 million a year and blame the fact that he doesn't have an agent, even though he signed with no issue with Baltimore, and then turn around and give Tremaine Edmonds $18 million a year, and he's not even a fraction of what Roquan Smith was as far as a linebacker goes. So it's, I just think when you, like you said, even with the Chase Claypool thing, I don't know. See, I'm not a big proponent in giving general managers 2 years. I think with head coaches and coaching staffs, I think you can know pretty quickly. I think we've seen that in the past. I think with general managers, they usually need more time. But my concern is that some of the things that he says that he values and some of the philosophies that he claims that he has, it's like this is a second year in a row that they've traded knowing that they've traded a second round pick knowing that that pick is going to be at least within the top, I'd say, 12 to 15 picks. And they turn around and they trade it and they do it again, but yet they say that they value the draft capital. And it's like, well, how can you value? You can't have it both ways. You can't value the draft capital and then, you know, trade it for a risky player and Chase Claypool or whatever the case may be, or in the case of Jalen Johnson or Roquan Smith or David Montgomery or any of these other guys that have walked out the door, you don't value the talent, the leadership enough in your own locker room, even though you haven't acquired it, but you're fine going out and acquiring a defensive end for a second-round pick, and you're going to have to be good with giving him $24 million a year, or you're good with giving Tremaine Edmonds $18 million a year. There's just, I think that the overall thought process behind what he's trying to do, it makes sense, but I think what he's claiming to have a philosophy of versus his actual actions have been a little bit different. And I think one way or another, like I said, I think the coaching staff has to be gone. And like he pointed out, I'm not a full believer in the fact that Matt Eberflus was his hire. I think the fact that you already had three, finalists in terms of head coaches before you even made a hire at GM kind of says it all. So I think, you know, you can easily justify him sticking around, but I would like to know what his plan is moving forward, because I mean, there's a very good chance that they're going to have to take a quarterback. There's a very good chance that they're going to have to do some more maneuvering in the draft to get some of this draft capital back. And, you know, the Jalen Johnson thing's a whole nother thing in itself.
Aaron, we were supposed to have you on at this time talking about a wild card chase, maybe an outside shot of winning the division, and here we are. Oh, boy.
No.
I want to ask you and center in on Jalen Johnson, a guy that did demand a trade. It was reported by Ian Rappaport earlier today that the Bears don't plan on trading him. He's in the final year of his contract. How good is he in your estimation, and what do you think that looks like going forward in terms of the Bears' decision of how much they would have to pay him? Or is he now going to be turned off and looking to go elsewhere?
Well, I think, you know, and obviously we've seen this contract situation play out in different ways with different players, right? Like we all saw that Jonathan Taylor had the chance to, you know, force a trade. He went out. Nobody wanted to pay, you know, the capital for him, whatever. He ends up signing a deal. But I think a lot of the time it ends up going the other way. And I think especially in this position, it's difficult in the sense that he's a good player when he's healthy. He's been a little bit up and down. I'd say he's been a lot better than bad. But I think the biggest issue for him is really availability. I mean, even if he's just missing a few games a year, I mean, he hasn't played a full season since he's been in Chicago. So, but again, I mean, that's kind of corners in general. Corners usually get banged up. It is what it is. He's not an elite corner. He's probably never going to be, but he's 24 years old, right? He's he's easily the best corner on the team in a group of unproven young guys. And then also, you know, you talk about off the field and just talking about, you know, him in the locker room as a leader. That is the exact type of player that Ryan Poles claims that he wants. And I guess that's kind of the confusion for me is why alienate a player like that? Why even make it to where he has to demand a trade to go out and see what his market is? Because at least according to Josina Anderson, it sounds like he's not going to have any sort of contract talks with the Bears for the rest of the year, which, you know, you can read into that how you will. But, I mean, he's been on the score the last few weeks, and he's talked about – you can tell that the frustration has increased over the last few weeks in terms of the fact that he had to go out and demand a trade. It just – to me, one, it seems like bad business, and two, it just doesn't seem like things are trending in the right direction. Now, time heals all. I think if the Bears come in with a quality offer, I think that makes sense. I think the corner – and that's the other issue is the corner market's kind of at a weird spot, right, where you haven't had a lot of guys that have got extended lately. He's not an elite guy. He's not going to be Jari Alexander. He's not going to set the market at $21 or $22 million. He said that's not what he wants to do anyway. But I think that they kind of have to find that common ground where I think the Bears probably value him more in like the $13 to $14 million range, and he may be more in the $17 to $18. So maybe they could bridge the gap at $16, which would be right around J.C. Jackson money, something like that. But it's going to be interesting. I think that that's kind of another big key here is you have to get Montez Sweat signed to an extension ASAP so that way you can go into the offseason and either use a transition tag or a franchise tag on him.
I could go one of two directions. I could go with the fact that it appears Green Bay doesn't have their next Hall of Fame quarterback, so that could be good news. Piper's given that a yes. Or I was going to
not go, everything sucks. Yes.
I was going to go with the TJ Edwards. I mean, I like what he's doing this year. He's just ahead of Roquan Smith, by the way, and third for tackles in the NFL. But is that saying more about that Bears defensive line than it is TJ or what?
Well, I mean, I think T.J. Edwards has been better than Tremaine Edmonds. I'll say that much.
He's been good.
I mean, But, you know, I think the thing with Edwards is you're paying him $6 million. I mean, you're not talking about, like, a market-setting deal. Like, I mean, he's more than holding his weight. Now,
agreed.
Here's what I will say. I think when both of those guys signed, and this is the same exact thing that they did with Roquan Smith last year, and I don't know what it is with Matt Eberflus, but he flips, for whatever reason, he likes to flip responsibilities. So they have Tremaine Edmonds at Mike, and they have T.J. Edwards at Will, and you know, reality of it is they should be flipped. You know, Edmonds should be at the Will because he has more athleticism, and Edwards is more of that kind of downhill guy. He can cover a little bit, but he's more of a middle linebacker. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, even with the whole Jordan Love thing, I mean, the last few weeks, he's been so bad to where I'm almost getting concerned because the Packers are sitting there at 2-5, right? I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility if things continue to go wrong for them. They could very easily be in that striking range for a quarterback.
Hmm.
You almost kind of want Jordan Love to be just mediocre enough to where the Packers are willing to commit to him for another year.
And I agree.
Right now, I don't think it's trending in that direction.
That's a good point.
Don't let Caleb Williams go to Green Bay because then I will believe they have the next Hall of Fame quarterback. Oh,
I will too. I'm out. If
no.
That-
We don't need this. We don't need this. Last one for you, Aaron. So, Illini fans are familiar with Kevin Warren. They don't like him. They don't think he was a good Big Ten commissioner. What do you think of him now being in a decision-maker seat within the Bears front office? And is there confidence in his ability to right this ship? And is there enough to know about him in the NFL as far as what maybe his tendency would be and you know, a short lease with polls or just kind of the direction he'd want to go with the head coach. Is there any feel on that on your end?
You know, I don't think there is. I think there's a lot of unknown, right? I think a lot of Bears fans right now are kind of staking their hopes to the fact that he is not Ted Phillips. And I think that's enough to get a lot of Bears fans by right now. But yeah, I mean, the thing is he's been with two successful organizations. I mean, he was with the Rams when the Rams won their first Super Bowl. He was in Minnesota when they hired both Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer. And then, you know, obviously they got the stadium built. There's been some talk that he had a pretty big hand in marrying those two together and getting that hire done. And there for a while, it was a good move. So, yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, the Bears, an owner, God bless him, that has no idea what he's looking at in terms of football. He may like football, whatever it may be. He's self-admitted multiple times. He doesn't evaluate football players. It's very clear if you look at any of the hirings that they've done over the last, I don't know, 20 years since he's taken over it. Or not even 20 years. I guess it's been, what was that, 2011? So wow. 2010, 2011. Whoa. They've had more head coaches in this span since taking over as president than they've had in franchise history. So, I mean, that should kind of give you an idea of where they're at. So you kind of have to put your faith in them at this point, right? I mean, you kind of have to hope that something changes. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is I think you got to get the right head coach in. And then if you – and I think that's kind of the big key, right? If they move on from Justin Fields this year, you cannot continue to follow the same trends that they have over the last few times. You have a lame duck situation with John Fox, and they go out and they draft Trubisky. Next year, John Fox gets bringing a new head coach. A few years later, lame duck situation with Brian Poles and Matt Nagy. What do? They let him go out and trade up and take Justin Fields. A year later, they get fired. If they are going to take a quarterback next year, if they end up with one of those top two picks, which is looking like it's going to end up happening, well, you know, we'll obviously have to see. But if they end up in that situation, they have to cut bait with the head coach. They need almost everybody on the same level. I think you can justify Ryan Poles. I think you can simply say, hey, you're getting another head coach. If this doesn't work out, whether the 2 years down the road, you're gone with it. Like the whole sense. Have to marry the head coach together. And I think those are the types of stars will a lot over the next, I'd say, half, 2 months. Because like I said, I don't think there's a path back for Matty Flus. I think it's too far gone at this point. I think there's been too many negative trends to simply look at these last nine games. And even if they, you know, obviously if they go like 8-1 or 9-0, then maybe, but the reality of it is they're probably going to win three, maybe four games. That's probably being generous. You can't keep a guy that's going to end up having the worst winning percentage in Bears head coach history.
I'm clipping that if they go 8-1 or 9-0. And then when they do, we're going to have Aaron back on and be like, how did you – you're a soothsayer, man. How did you know that? That's awesome. I mean, isn't it funny how you're – I mean, like I am as a Cardinals fan. I'm already looking forward to the draft. And it's like now – I mean, it's going to be kind of the Bears and Cardinals battling for that top spot. And really, the the Bears are coming out with two armies, you know, from front and back. And I don't know. It's interesting how both franchises that we talk about, obviously Pipes and I root for. It's going to be interesting how that this draft is going to shape up a lot of the future. And it'll be interesting to see what the Bears do and the Cardinals, because they both have quarterbacks, if you look at it, with Justin Fields and Kyler Murray. But is each organization really dead set on them? So I think April's going to be a pretty fun month when it comes to that, for sure.
I think it will be. It's going to be very interesting to see, because I think Cardinals are in a little bit more of an interesting position.
They are.
Where if Kyler Murray comes back, because Kyler Murray is a good quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, how good and everything else you can debate. And I like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields can go on to another team, the right team, and have a good NFL career. But at least Kyler Murray is established. He's on a second deal. It's going to be really interesting, especially when he comes back over the next few weeks. I mean, does that give them any sort of boost? Because it felt like those first few weeks of the season, they were playing really good, really hard. And then it feels like Josh Dobbs kind of fell off and the rest of the team fell off.
Yeah. James Conner got hurt, and it changed the tone of this team. I didn't realize he was that important to the Cardinals, but he has been. The defense has been decent, but, yeah, it's just going to be fun. And they play each other this season. That ought to be a – I might have to make it to Soldier for that one.
See, well, they play each other, and then the Bears and Panthers play each other on Thursday Night Football, which,
right,
God bless anybody who has to watch that you know, willingly, I guess.
Al Michaels is going to quit, isn't he? He's just going to quit for that game. Just retire.
I'm hoping we don't get another inappropriate Tyson Bagent love fest again, man. That Sunday night broadcast was so over the top. It was, that was brutal. It's like he's throwing interceptions and they're blowing him up. It's like, it's a good story, but let's leave it at what it is. Yeah.
My dad's the number one arm wrestler in the world. I mean, that was just, I don't know. I heard that and I was like, yeah, that's the end of that story. Aaron Lemming, you're awesome, my friend.
Hey, thanks again, as always, for having me on. And hopefully the next time we talk, it'll be a little bit more positive.
Let's
I
go.
Keep saying that. It doesn't happen, but hopefully something will
Let's
happen.
Let's hope for it. Follow Aaron. He's great to follow on Twitter, at Aaron Lemming,
awesome
NFL. Read his stuff at the Bear Report. Aaron, you deserve a stiff drink and five more for covering this team and talking to us about it. So we thank you, and we look forward to the next conversation.
Absolutely. Look forward to talking to you guys again.
Thanks,
thank
buddy.
You, Aaron.
That's
Aaron
awesome.
Lemming. Good stuff.
At Aaron Lemming. NFL. It's kind of funny. We were losing a little connection with him, and this same thing happened the other day. I don't recall who we were talking to, but it actually sounds kind of cool. Like, it's like a, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of a, like, I kind of hoped it would continue for a little bit. I don't understand this with the Bears.
I could say that about a lot of things.
Well,
Aaron bringing up the point they could franchise tag was admittedly something I didn't immediately think of.
And I had thought of that too, but is he good enough to pay him one of the top five? Maybe he is. Maybe he's one of the top five guys at his position. Because that's how the franchise tag works, correct?
Yes.
You are paid whatever the average salary is for the top five at that position, or at least it used to be. I might be archaic with my knowledge, but, and maybe that's the case. I mean, this isn't like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of a comp here, an analogy, like, you trade, oh, this will make everybody mad. You trade Jim Edmonds to the Cardinals in the hope that he's going to fall in love with St. Louis and the idea of best fans in baseball and all of that crap, And it seems like it is, but, and listen, there's nothing against Chicago when it comes to football. I mean, I always think of, when I think of rugged, awesome football, I don't know why, but I do still think of the Bears. I remember the Walter Payton days. I remember the Neil Anderson days. I mean, there were some good days that growing up that I got to see the Bears win a lot of games, but I don't know. You make this trade and you get rid of a second round pick when in reality you could have turned around. You're not making the playoffs this year. In fact, you don't want to win. So then
they don't want to. They don't have the capacity to. It's not going to happen.
I mean, the only reason, and obviously the Redskins, I'm sorry, my bad. What are they? The Commanders wanted to move on from, the Redskins wanted to move on from Marcus Sweat or whatever, but it's like, you could have gone out in free agency and just signed him and saved your second round pick. I don't know. Yeah, I'm almost mad about
point.
This.
That's a good point.
I'm almost mad about it, Pipes. They're like my second favorite team, and they're ticking me off now, too. So now I'm just ticked off.
The apathy for me is laying on thick.
Yeah, see, and
it really is.
You've got the apathy, and I'm like more of like the angry Bears fan. I don't get it.
Really? So you're giving up a second-round pick for the audition of, hey, isn't it fun to play in Chicago? Sign with us.
Right.
Which that probably isn't going to go well because it's going to be a miserable season the rest of the way.
You're going to lose 80% of your games the rest of the time.
You're really not going to provide yourself with a discount.
No, it's not like this guy. You know, I could understand this if he had 2 years left on a contract. Then I'd be like, whoa, that makes perfect sense. Bring him in now. You're kind of on a rebuild. And by the time he's in his last year of his contract, you guys are pretty stinking good. I don't know. This just really, it rubs me the wrong way that the Bears did this. I almost feel like sometimes an organization, any one of them, I think every one of them have made this issue, that they get into a spiral of bad or good. And it's like a player that's on the court who misses his first five shots. You know what the rest of the night's going to be. It's going to be a struggle. Or if you get a kid that right off the tip drills a three, it's like, uh-oh, he's feeling it. And I feel like organizations get to this point where they just start going down a horrible path. Or everything they do is correct. I don't know. I just don't like this for the Bears.
This isn't the first five shots missed. This is a team that's 3 for 25. And everybody like, all right, guys, it's been bad. But
this is last year's
Illinois
basketball. Trust
me on this one. I'll make this shot. I will. I got it.
Just keep shooting.
Keep passing me the rock. I'm going to start to feel it, man. Which they haven't. That Packers loss early, not only just to lose, but in embarrassing fashion. It rattled me. Shook me.
It did.
In a year that, yes, we were supposed to talk about, could they be this year's Jacksonville Jaguars of last year, you know, making a run and going to the playoffs, and maybe you're on the cusp of building with what thought to be a franchise quarterback in Justin Fields, and you go out and be aggressive in free agency, and they're putrid.
Yep.
And then they're still doing just weird stuff as far as the GM. So I'm
out
on polls. I've already been out on Eberflus. I want to give Justin Fields more of a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to look like the rest of this year.
I just don't see him going to another team and being that good. Is it me? I just don't.
I agree with you.
I know that he's amazingly athletic. And he's built like a stinking middle linebacker that can do things cut on a dime. I just don't trust his arm.
I think he's got the strength. He's just got to make the right decisions.
I just don't trust his accuracy.
That's fair.
I'm sorry. I just don't trust that he would ever be a guy that you would put on a playoff caliber team. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I said all those bad things, and every time I say bad things, he comes out and plays well. Of course, he's hurt.
As someone who's watched it really closely, the situation is just so
and you're right.
So bad. The play calling is brutal. The offensive line is terrible.
Yep.
If you go back and watch, and look, college is a different game. It's a different level. In the NFL, like all the guys that are standout players are all over at every position. So you can find even in some high level games, like okay, these guys are pros. You might be able to exploit some guys that aren't going to hit in the NFL. But that Ohio State Clemson game. Justin Fields is phenomenal.
Incredible.
And he's had even the second half of last season where, yes, a lot of it was with his legs.
You're right.
But he's had some flash moments. And I know that I'm a little bit, I'm not going to say by myself on an island and defending Justin Fields. I just still want to see more from him. But I get the skepticism. And it needs to change for sure in terms of giving him maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it is going to be. I think Atlanta would be really interested in bringing him there with Bijan Robinson and Drake London and saying, hey, Desmond Ridder stinks. Let's try the Justin Fields experiment. Yeah. Someone else is going to want it and see what it looks like. And I just fear that in the right spot with the right play calling,
it could go well.
It would be something that's pretty good.
It's too bad that the TikTok is not made for radio, although it could be if we kind of said who it is each time. Have you seen the one where on the Ohio State quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah. I have.
And it's a choir group in, like, high school. Uh-huh. And the teacher is there listening to these people sing. And I don't know who some of them, like Braxton Miller,
Terrell Pryor.
It'd be like me, like,
Cardale Jones.
Oh, dear Lord. And the teacher is like, oh, God. And then at the very end, this really young-looking kid just steps up and he's like, ah! I mean, he's got this unbelievable voice. And it's like,
C.J. Stroud. Oh, my God.
It's pretty good. It's really pretty good if you haven't seen it. I have no idea how you find a TikTok. I'm not on it.
We got to catch a break. Real quick, Kyle, you watch a lot of football. What's your Justin Fields take?
Are you on TikTok?
You think
now?
He stinks?
I don't use TikTok.
You don't?
Like a lot of people.
You don't
my
like
age.
While you're making a pizza at night, you put in like a Taylor Swift song and do some shimmy dance?
No. Like, you'll never catch me.
No? Okay.
It's now my mission in life to catch Kyle doing a shimmy Taylor shimmy Swift dance while he's making pizza. Somebody plant that in his dorm room. Can you even make a pizza in a dorm room? You probably can't.
No.
Instagram. You guys are on Instagram, I assume. Yes. Okay, I'm not.
Make some bagel bites.
Bagel bites. Yeah. Do you still make popcorn? Pockets. Do you still like make the popcorn that comes in the packet?
Yes.
You still do that?
Yes.
Okay. How often do you burn it?
Oh, probably 50-50.
And it
50.
Smells up the entire dorm. I can remember doing that. You'd smell up the entire floor of the dorm.
You're burning popcorn?
It's like,
why?
Who burned the popcorn? Well, you didn't do it on purpose.
No, it happens. It seems like it happens without you trying. It has
you
the recommended.
One little small. Oh,
on
I know.
The back of the bag, it's like, heat it up for 2 minutes, and then you do
You get
two
distracted
minutes.
For one second or something, and it's like, it hasn't popped in a minute.
You do the 2 minutes, and it's like still popping, so you think you need to give it more, and then it burns it.
Who knew that we'd have the pressure in life of knowing when to guess on the pops? You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
yes.
So all of a sudden, you're like, okay, it really hasn't. And then all of a sudden, you hear this, pow, 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 and it's like, well, wait a minute. Hold on, it's still going. And then it hasn't for a while, and then it's like, it's burning. It's burning. I'm telling you, making that kind of a popcorn thing is tough.
I will not take for granted. On my microwave, you got a popcorn button.
Yes.
And then it's usually about, you know, 5 to 8 seconds left, and it starts to slow down.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, it's out.
So you've got
I've got
a good technique.
Yeah, I found the groove. And that's where familiarity, cohesion really comes into the mix. You don't
Being
wanna,
a veteran.
You don't want to go to the transfer portal and bring in this new microwave. You might not be on the same page
as
the popcorn.
That's exactly right. You can equate that right to sports. There's a lot of pressure in the popcorn pop. Mm. All right.
Those are my thoughts on Fields, by the way. Hope you enjoyed.
He burns the popcorn half the time, the other half. It's okay.
Kyle's like me, I think, on Fields.
I do kind of agree with you. I just, from what I've seen, and I do not pretend to watch as much of him as Pipes does, but
I've watched
just
every
has,
game.
I wish I pretended.
I know.
He just has issues processing, reading defenses. Like, there's some of those things that he's just is still not there yet. And I feel like while the situation and the coaching staff around him may play a major part in that, I feel like that has to come a long way for him to be a successful NFL quarterback. Yep. He needs to grow a lot in that area, more so that the talent is undeniable, but in terms of the more intangible aspects of being an NFL QB, I don't think he's there yet.
That's fair.
Fair point. If you want to weigh in on that or anything else, we got some popcorn takes here on the U of I Atlanta League text line, 217-359-2255. Yeah,
Brett
Bielema did speak to the media yesterday. We can play some of that when we return, and let's talk some more popcorn,
let's
Halloween
go.
Candy,
let's
Justin
go.
Fields.
Don't give out the popcorn for Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, remember the popcorn,
the popcorn balls?
And you'd try to bite it, and you'd lose 3 teeth. It's like, what is this thing? You need like a hammer and a screwdriver. You're like banging into it like, hey, I got a piece off.
Should we do a Halloween candy draft?
No.
Okay.
I like candy too much. The anxiety of that is worse than the popcorn.
Would you trade me a second round pick for a candy that's going to expire after tonight?
Yeah, I would.
Ryan Poles right there.
Right. That's why I'm doing a show here on.
All right. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Should we leave it in the garage for now?
Go ahead, leave it in the garage for now.
You can leave that stuff there just for now, or schedule 2-Minute-A-Truck junk removal to come out and remove it for you. 2-Minute-A-Truck has multiple solutions. If the just for now stuff isn't needed, we can junk it. If it's items you need later, we can store the just for now stuff until later. Has your just for now become more than you anticipated? 2-Minute-A-Truck has solutions for your residential and commercial junk removal at 2MenChampagne.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Welcome to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hi, I'm looking for a refrigerator.
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Oh, yeah, well, I just need a refrigerator. Don't need the whole store.
But you get it, the whole store.
My kitchen is only about this big.
You get me.
Hello.
All those delivery, installation, and service technicians in back.
Wow, all those people?
The Dick Van Dyke 5-10-year protection plan, which means in the unlikely event something goes wrong in the first 5 years, your repair cost is nothing.
Nothing?
10 years parts coverage on the major components.
Looks like I'm getting more than a refrigerator today. How much does this whole store cost?
Nothing.
Come on.
For real. We guarantee to beat any competitor's deal, all that other stuff we talked about, like our service tax.
And your 5-10-year protection plan.
All included.
I'm Dennis Freakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And when we say you get the whole store, we mean the whole store. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location. Shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop them at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc. Fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com. INS.com.
Back in the drive at Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We did have a 217 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line say, soak the popcorn bag in water before cooking it. There is no burn. Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't know you could do that.
I'm trying that next time I do it.
You can call me Sal. Says go old school Jiffy Pop. The guy from the couch has thoughts.
And it was like, they seemed like they were bigger pieces in that. You'd put it on the stove and it was kind of like, it had a handle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's Sal coming through on that one. Yeah, I agree. Soak it in water. I guess that's not going to hurt the kernels. So, yeah, you know, I want to know how long
do you soak it?
See, there's always questions. There's more questions. Do you just soak it for a minute, get it wet, and then put it in? You're not going to electrocute yourself, are you? Are we trying to rid? Is Kyle the new Kenny?
Oh, now let's not kill Kenny, please. At least not Kyle. But
well, try it out, Kyle, and see if it works. But let one of your roommates turn the microwave on.
Will do.
Oh, I forgot to turn the popcorn on. Can you hit that, Tom? And then run.
Can I mention a quick weird story that popped up on my Twitter feed before we go to Brett Bielema?
Yeah.
So
I loved your I got the pun there.
What's that?
That it popped up on your, well, that was nice.
It wasn't even intentional. 217 says you got to make it damp.
Oh, damp. Okay.
Make it damp.
Hmm.
So Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's son, who's been dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
What?
You didn't know this?
I did not know. Oh,
they're getting engaged.
Oh, boy.
And Marcus recently said that he wants Michael to be his best man.
Oh, boy.
How weird is that?
Never mind. What's the age difference?
17 years. You got two guys who won 6 rings together. The jerseys are next to each other in the rafters of United Center.
Oh, my goodness.
And Scottie Pippen's wife is now marrying the son of Michael Jordan.
You're going to be worth $500 million one day. Unless you just royally piss, you know.
Yeah.
Tick off your dad. But it's like, and then you're going to be sitting there like, I don't know. To each their own.
If there's a friendship there between Michael and Scotty, is that just completely gone?
Oh, it has been. Have you?
Yeah, I know. Like after the last dance
Scotty
stuff.
Is saying that, what was the one of the last things he said was like, Michael Jordan wasn't even that good or something that. And he's just.
You're right.
Can guys just retire?
A few years ago, he did say something like, you know, LeBron's the best I've ever seen. Yeah. And that was like a little dig, obviously. And
Can they just go live in a really nice house somewhere on a beach and just your time's done? You had everything you wanted for 15 years. You had the highlights, you had championships, you had all the money, maybe whatever else. You had your time. Now just move on. Mm. More retired athletes get in trouble for just dumb stuff. Just move on. It's the guys you never hear from anymore. They're the smart ones.
Yeah. Michael Jordan, known for his rings. Marcus Jordan, known for putting a ring on Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Oh, my goodness.
And Jeffrey Jordan, known for playing in Illinois a hot minute.
Let's go.
Speaking of Illinois, Brett Bielema.
And not even starting.
Here's your Illini head coach.
Well, good to get back in game week. You know, as I've said a couple different times, right, this is my 15th year entering as a head football coach, and every one of them is uniquely different. Obviously, to be a 3-5 team going into a bye week, there are going to be a lot of conversations from coaches to players to obviously everywhere in between there, support staff. But through that into, you know, in my all my time being a head coach, I've never appealed a targeting rule all the way to the NCAA. So that was a new process for me. I actually literally met with Josh literally after the game. He got me all the points that we needed to do, made that formal process. And then obviously, as we shared with you last week, got the bad news. But then later on in the week, I saw there was another Big Ten player got so that kind of set my mind wondering if I could go further and appeal further, because it happened later in the week, and we don't similar to Iowa, had a bye week, so there wasn't an urgency that I expressed at the beginning of the week. But again, that stays obviously in the same situation. I was also working through the Big Ten office literally after the Wisconsin game, or the way the game ended. We had a player catch a pass that I assumed was number 93 for Wisconsin. They have a defensive lineman that wears that jersey number, but that was not the case. When I went to the official stats on Sunday morning, it revealed that a offensive lineman caught the stats, and I didn't catch that because 93, I just assumed when he caught it, that was him, and I was never notified of another 93 in the game. So made a pretty formal process to the Big Ten, asked for explanation how that could happen, and that kind of didn't get resolved until Wednesday or Thursday of last week. So that was a huge learning experience, something I've never been through before. Each year kind of brings a new set of circumstances. Then also last week, just dealing with the recruiting process in a one-week window for the bye week was a lot of travels. I was actually on campus really just for 2.5 days, got good work with them on Wednesday, had a really good practice on Thursday to get a little jump start on Minnesota, and then to be across the country and deal with a lot of evaluations. Not really, I was more involved in guys that could potentially be mid-year transfers and whatnot. A couple high school games as well. So just a really busy week. And then to kind of have a moment on Saturday, I got back Saturday about late morning and had a chance to watch college football. Some of the teams we played against, some of the teams we're going to play against. Saw a lot of unusual things happen. Saw a buddy of mine, Dave Dorn, get a 100th career win. Guy that he and I shared a lot of time together, and it made me reminisce about getting 100 wins against Penn State. It was just a lot of different emotions to go through it, and then to see the guys in NFL yesterday, and especially I didn't get a chance to watch Tommy last night, but I was getting a million texts from people seeing him get involved in the game and everything that goes forward. I didn't realize it had been 20 years since an Illinois quarterback took an NFL snap, right? So just a lot of different things. It was I think a bye week always brings a lot of perspective and a lot of analysis. So we're into this game week against Minnesota, a team that obviously has played really well as of late. Played well all year long, but obviously to come out with another win on Saturday to put themselves in the front of the Big Ten West race. But I think this game is really about Illinois, Minnesota. I know that's where our guys are going to take it. We're into a four-week window that we're going to take it 1 week at a time. And I think we always say that, but I think the reality of putting it in front of them last night, even last week, that regardless of where we're at, to have this four-week window is truly a blessing. To have two home games, two away games, kind of know exactly where we are. And to play a Minnesota team that we greatly respect, and the way that PJ's built things around there and been able to handle getting to bowl games every year, and just really impressive group. The same Minnesota we saw a year ago, though it's different face, a lot of the same content. They want to run the football. They're very, very efficient in what they do. The quarterback is really a good game manager. I think their defense is extremely aggressive. Have a couple great players. 27 is a really incredible player. Very impressed with him to watch year in and year out, see his growth, his development. And everything that they have. So a challenging week, and one that we're excited from an injury standpoint. Literally starting to get some of these guys back. Keith, Reggie, two of the biggest guys, one on offense, one on defense. I think they'll be with us, but a lot how they handle this week. So they're getting cleared to do more and more. Now it's about how they respond to once they've been cleared, right? And it's been positive at this point. Got a little thin on running backs going into the bye week. There's literally a day where we had to move two guys from defense over just so we could practice, just because I didn't want to take a bunch of those guys that are going to play for us on unwanted hits, and we want to get good work. So a lot of good growth in the bye week. So with that, open it up for questions and go from there.
Brooke, can you share any of the feedback you got from the Big Ten on those two issues?
You know, every week that I usually turn in a couple of plays, there's obviously a clapping play that was pretty easy to see on the big play that set up the game-winning touchdown. The player goes out of bounds, and because it was past the 20, that didn't initiate a substitution, but he then watched the next play. The guy that caught the ball watched the play from the sideline. So obviously I know what happened, right? There was a substitution. But we weren't given the substitution signal, so that made me cause my turnout. So to call a timeout. So after the clap and after that one, I had two timeouts that could have been given back to us, which would have had a huge effect. The last play of the game, we saw 93 line up at the tackle. Our players didn't see it because he's covered with a YY. It's a totally legal play. But again, he warmed up in number 66 before the game. So that's what we checked him off in our two deep lineup. And when you report into the game in any number other than what you reported in, you have to tell us. We've done it. I bet you I've done it 30 times in my playing career or my coaching career. We did it 4 or 5 times earlier this year when number 5, when Caleb was kicking off, Zach Tobey, you literally hear the officials announce number 5 is now in the game. We're in this. So it's very frustrating and had a huge impact on the game, especially with not having those two timeouts that I feel were directly resolved or could have been resolved with better management. But, you know, Wisconsin won the game, and we have to take the loss. But I was exploring many options to try and get that verified, but obviously did not avail.
Difference with Johnny's hit?
Johnny's no, because once it appeals, you know, the Big Ten supported it, and then they sent it on the NCAA, and the NCAA supported it, and that was kind of the final appeals process.
You mentioned how, you know, just having the one bye week was different recruiting-wise, but when you just have the one, and it's maybe at this later point in the season, did you do things differently with your players just because they'd been 8 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd actually done a lot of things differently the 2 weeks leading into Wisconsin. I thought our guys had played extremely hard through those games down the stretch. So we really wanted to give them a moment. Tuesday, we did a little bit more with our developmental crowd. It was strictly a developmental practice. Nobody took reps on Tuesday that wasn't that was in our two deep. And then Wednesday in particular, we had our twos become ones and our devos become threes. We did some more conditioning with our ones, but we really left our ones alone. The high rep guys, when I say ones, it's really the guys that take the large majority of the reps. So like a wide receiver, it was Casey, Isaiah, and obviously PB, you know, so the regular guys. And then those guys on Thursday, we split the practice. So the first half of practice was all Minnesota driven. And the second half got a little bit more into Devo and twos and threes.
Because of your history, both at Iowa and Wisconsin, do you have a different feeling about Minnesota than maybe a different, you know, another Big Ten school?
No, I think, you know, I grew up playing in Iowa, so that was the first thing, right? It was your battle for the pig, the Florida Rosedale. So I got educated that here. I was a guy playing at Iowa that was from Illinois, and really I didn't realize at the time everybody brought into that rivalry, right? And it came full circle for me when I was at Wisconsin and I had a player from Indiana speak about the rivalry of the Paul Bunyan acts between Wisconsin and Minnesota. And I kind of came full circle for me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of like seeing an out-of-state player buy into a competitive trophy game that they're not from either one of those states, right? And then when you come here to Minnesota, I think just because of that in my background, my history, and because of Minnesota's success, we'd kind of circled that game as a rivalry game and what it is. I think some of you know this in my past history. So when I first became an assistant.
Good stuff with Brett Bielema. We got to get out of here so I can go trick-or-treating in the snow.
Yeah!
My wife just sent me that snow possible around 5:45 p.m. Fantastic.
I have seen the picture of Cade. I've seen the picture. You guys, he nails Larry Bird.
I know, right?
That is awesome!
At least the back of his neck will be warm because the mullet is coming down. Nothing's getting back there, but appreciate Aaron Lemming joining us, as well as Luke Goody, both on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Going to catch up with an old friend tomorrow.
Yeah.
Marley Weirda.
That's right.
Sports reporter up there in Michigan, formerly of WCIA3.
I'm excited. I said, can we talk about this Michigan fiasco?
Have to.
And then also the Lions, of course. And then she did a stint where she had a broadcast on NFL, one of the NFL games.
NFL Network,
right? Sideline. So
yeah.
I'm excited to talk to Marley and catch up again. See how a Florida girl loves Michigan.
That'll be fun. Yeah, that's true. Good point about that. But appreciate Everybody listening in, enjoy your Halloween, however you're going to consume it. You got to get out in the cold, dress warm, and